My sermon this morning is called Stick With It. That's our title. And the question was, in order to get this title, was, you know, it kind of comes from what Dennis does and what Mark does at the end of their sermons, is remember to be faithful. Be faithful always. And so the question came to me is, how do we do that? How do we be faithful? What are we supposed to do? And so I had to think about it quite some time, and I thought, you know, maybe there's some sort of a little slang term that we can use, like stick with it, or I thought I'd keep at it, or stay with it. Just trying to come up with something, like catching a little slogan, but, you know, I thought back to, we used to butcher when I was a kid. We'd butcher one beef. And I don't know if anybody here has done a lot of that, or if anybody here has done any of that, or if you're a hunter and you like to do that sort of thing, you know, I think that you probably enjoy that. I can tell you right from the start here, I did not enjoy that. Because it took 2 weekends out of my basketball season, usually, when we were playing, because we did that, wanted to do it when it was cold. And the things that we cut it, you know, what you do is you quarter it, and you try to hang it up. We actually had a cooler, because we did quite a bit of this. So we had a cooler, we tried to hang it up, and the thing was so slippery. And I remember my dad and I would just hang on just with everything we had so that thing didn't slip out of our hands, and I'd have his fingernails grabbing into my, cutting into my fingers because we were trying so hard to hang on. And then the next weekend would come up and you'd butcher it. And my grandfather was great at cutting up the steaks, but my job would be to try to trim the fat off all these steaks. And then we'd start early in the morning, by 10 a.m. I'd just be like, oh, when is this ever gonna get over? And my grandfather would say, you know, pick the easiest one, because then you'll have the easiest one next. And my great-grandfather would say, pick the hardest one, because then you'll have the easiest one next. And I was like, it didn't matter which way that I did that, because it always drug on until about 1 o'clock. But I tried both ways, and it still took a long time. But the key was that they got me with whatever it was they said to me. They kept me there, and I was able to finish. So I stuck with it. So that's the term of our sermon. It also came to me that it was this fall, we had like a grasshopper on the car. And this grasshopper, we live on gravel, of course, and we pull out on the highway, and I'm going 25, and it's like, wow, that grasshopper is really sticking with it. Because he's on the outside right here. I can just see him off my mirror. And so I was like, oh, let's try 35. Let's try 45. Let's try 55. The thing was still riding. And so we get to the interstate where I could go 65. So he's like, let's get this thing up to 65 and see if I can blow him off. I could not blow that grasshopper off until kind of turned just a little bit, and the wind came from just a little direction, and he wasn't quite ready to hang on that way, and blew him right off. But somehow or other, this grasshopper knew, and my grandparents knew, that we needed to get this butchering done, and we needed to stick with it. The bug wanted to stick with it, but I decided, you know what, I'll just look up this term and see what it means. So a little bit of help from AI. It says, to stick with it means to persevere, to continue doing something or seeing a plan through, even when it becomes difficult, boring, or discouraging, rather than giving up. I think they hit it on the head when I talked about butchering day. So I'd like to mark this first, because we're going to stay in it, and Harrison started reading it, but we're going to do a lot of work in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 25. It just so happened when we went to class at the Hazeldale Church of Christ that Brad Huddleston was going through this section. And as I was looking at that, it's like, wow, this is a really good section on what we should do to keep the course and to stick with it. So I'm going to go ahead and read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 25. So if you'll bear with me. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all, see that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us. So when I think about that, it's a little bit like, I don't know if you've ever think about investing, but sometimes you invest for the long-term bonds, 30-year bonds, or short-term. If you have, you're trying to save for a car, there's long-term saving and short-term savings. But when I think about, like 1 Thessalonians, this verse is for the long-term. These verses talk about sticking with it. Because let me just review a few excerpts here. It says, always seek to do good. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. And then just the verb forms, how everything is shaped in these verses. It says, to respect, to esteem, be at peace, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient. These verses and these verbs, these are not one-time events. These are lifetime events that we're talking about here in 1 Thessalonians. Now, I want to mention King David here just a little bit. Ross, I actually looked at your sermon online, the La Vista Church of Christ, and pulled a few things out about King David off that website. So, King David, let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let's look at verses 34 through 37. But when you think about this, and before I read it, you know, God had decided King David was, he was going to be the king. But he didn't just walk him up to the throne. I mean, he had to get through Goliath, he had to get through Saul, he had to get through the Philistines, he had all of these problems. And his attitude at the beginning was like this. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and where a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it, and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. You would think that after David's, you know, slayed Goliath, that he'd been on easy street. He was like, all right, you proved everything you possibly need to me. You're good to go. But it just doesn't work that way. Because if we look at Psalms, let's turn to Psalms chapter 56 and verses 1 through 8. Because David continued to have all of these issues popping up, either with the Philistines, also with his family. But let's look at Psalms 56. Let's go through 1 through 8. Because I think about these, you know, I think it's like, well, he slayed Goliath. They really shouldn't have any problems whatsoever. It's like, my life when I was younger seemed pretty easy, but now as I get older, you know, in the mornings I take a cholesterol pill. All these things, you just kind of continue through. Things start popping up that are challenges that you need to get through. But in Psalm 56, it starts out and says, be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day. There are many who fight against me, O Most High. It says then in verse 3, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I will put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? And then it reverses right here, verse 5, and says, all day they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together, they hide, they mark my steps when they lie in wait for my life. I find it so interesting that he starts off and talking about all these things that man's going to do, and then he kind of calms himself and realizes that right in the middle of this, that I am afraid, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust you. And it's funny, as we go along in life, it's like all these things happen to us, but we need to take a step back. Take a look at our lives, just like King David did. It's like, let's put our trust in God. Now I'm going to tell you some stories about the Goliaths that I have in my life. There's Goliaths that we have in our own lives. They may not be as big as Goliath, but they're Goliaths when they come to throwing us off the path. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about me starting my first job. So my very first job, I got to start in corporate headquarters. I graduated college. I can almost remember the dates, but right around May 11th. We were farming, so for a week I got to drive a tractor, which was one of the favorite things I did, and then I needed to get started right around May 21st or something like that so that I could get a week's vacation if I started before June 1st. Some such thing like that. So I start, right? And I start at the corporate headquarters, and it's a massive. So I'm a farm kid, and I still wish I could be a farm kid. And at this point, I really wished I could have still been a farm kid. But this corporate headquarters was massive. And you had, it was like a football field, and it is the size of a football field, with rows and rows and rows of desks. And you walk in, as you first start to walk in, it's a buzz. It's like, you know, what are they doing in here? Is this a bee farm in here? Because there's just a buzz of all these people talking. And you come in and you get started, and it's just overwhelming. And they have this second largest board with all these prices on it, and corn and soybeans and all these different things. It's the second largest one besides the Board of Trade. So it's just massive, and it just overwhelms everything you do. And then you go, and you're supposed to, I'm a trainee. That's what I was called. I walked in my first day, I'm a trainee, I am fresh meat. None of these guys want to, you're a trainee, all right, but none of these guys want to train you. It's more like Andrew when he went off to basic training. You're going to get it. And I had these guys that they sort of would teach me. The first guy says to me, he's like, I'm not going to teach you everything I know. I was like, well, okay. And he's like, if I taught you everything I know, then you'd know what I know, and you'd also know what you'd know, so you'd know more than me. And so I got to thinking about that. What if we did that here? What if Mark in the class is like, I'm not going to teach these guys anything more than I know, or they'll know more than me. But it's all, and that's exactly opposite of what we do here, if you think about this. But these people, it was pride. It was more pride, and it was money. And I saw this one vice president that I had the most problem with. I saw the vehicle he drove. He drove a great car, and he had a brand new truck. And he was the vice president, and everybody loved this guy. And so about my second week into this, which I started, I think I had 3 days, maybe the first week or four. So I'm underneath 10 days in here. And one of our jobs was to go and write quotes on these board in front. And I was filling in my second week, I'm filling in for this guy. And where I'm trying to, like, what it's called, billing a train. It's like getting the railroad to move the train, so it would move it to the facility. I had no idea what I was doing. And so I'm up here writing on the board, and the buzzing is going on, and this guy realizes what I've done and what I shouldn't have done, and he comes up and he screams and he yells at me, and all of a sudden all of the buzzing stopped. And I'm here, and he's yelling, and I'm feeling his breath, and everybody stopped, and they're looking at me, and it's like, what has this guy done? And to this day, I can't tell you what I did. I did something wrong. And he's like, you're going to shut down the plant. And as I thought about it, I came back like, you know, you keep coming back as a trainee. It's like, this guy was just making a point, was wanting to show how good he was or whatever it was he was trying to do. I would have never shut down the plant. It was never going to happen. None of these things are going to happen. But this guy, you know, wanted to show me what was what. So we had about July 4th, and I'll hurry up and get this over, but they invited all of these trainees out to a boat, and it's on Lake Shelbyville, and there's this massive boat with a captain. And I was like, what is this going on out here? You start this boat, and you get it up full speed. You got to stop it right away and turn it around. This boat doesn't even fit on this lake, but they want us to have this boat out there on this lake, and they want to impress us about how much money they have, or whatever it is that they're trying to impress, they're having a captain. He's all dressed up. They serve us all this big lunch. And here comes this vice president and just ripped me apart. He's got his brand new truck, and he's got his dual engine boat. I don't know even how to say that. Super fine boat. He's got all these girls in the back of this boat, and they're partying away. And he comes up to our boat, and he's, you know, trying to show off all these girls and all this stuff, you know, and he's talking about that. And after all these things this guy had said to me, you know, he tore me up. He told me to, you know, if something goes wrong and you can't get out of it, just lie. That was exactly the quote. Just lie. And then I see what he's doing with his boat. It's like, I want to be just like this guy. Look at this, man. This guy's got a boat. He's got a truck. He's got these girls. This is fantastic. But if I had to do it all over again today, it was just like, I would walk to the other end of the boat. I might even jump off the boat, swim to shore. Because I'd never want to be a part of this. Because what I did afterwards, so I took my place. You trainees eventually got placed someplace. I got placed, and I'm like, oh, I am going to work and show these people that I can do more than this guy with the boat, with the truck, and with the car. And so I worked and worked hard to build up this program, and it comes close to Christmas. And that year, which has been a long time ago, it was super cold, and the river was going to close. My placement was on the river. And so we're trying to load barges, and I'm calling all these people. It's like, you gotta get more corn down here. You gotta get more. We need to make more money. We gotta get all of this done before the river closes. And so I took a little bit of advice from this guy. I didn't tell a big lie, but I had some guys that were hauling grain for me, and they said the best, they're hauling as much as they could. It's like late at night on a Friday. They're hauling as much as they can for me, and I have to have them go back to take another round of corn. I'd like to get it down to our facility. And so they said, the best we can do is 9 o'clock. The best we could possibly do is 9 o'clock. And so then I called this guy. We didn't have cell phones then, so I lost communication with him. I said, yeah, they'll probably be there, you know, the latest they'll be is 9 o'clock. And they'd said, the best we can do is 9 o'clock. So the guy rates around to 9 o'clock, and guess what? Nobody shows up. So he decides to go and leave about 9:15, and they showed up at 9:30. So 9:30 there, we don't have cell phones. This is before cell phones, so I'm dating myself. So these dudes noticed that next to the elevator where they're supposed to be picking up this stuff, because they were supposed to pick up the next day too, there's a bar, a nice bar next door, and so they go and spend the night there and tie one on. So what was supposed to happen is they were supposed to load this grain and have it down at the facility for the next morning so they can make one more turn and be the first in line. And instead, they spent the night in the bar. And as we're loading that day, one of the barges gets stuck on the ice. And we have the longest line of trucks I've ever seen that comes out of our facility, that goes through the main street. And these two guys were the last ones in the line. And their owner is calling, because it's actually their Christmas party that day. And they're supposed to make two turns. They're never going to get out of there in 6 hours. So they sit there, and they sit there. And so they finally, they get unloaded. They make it back to the party. And the next morning, there's this guy in our office. And there was two people there that were with me, that were my boss, who would be over me, and then the plant superintendent who ran the plant. And as soon as I walked in on Monday morning, they said, you need to go home. I was like, why is that? It's like, there's a guy here who wants to see you. And he's like, and he's going to let you have it. And I said to these two guys, I'm like, can I take him? Pride, pride, pride. Can I take this dude? And they look down, they look up at me, and they said, all three of us can't take this guy. And so immediately I turned white, right? I'm like, they snuck me in the back door because I wanted to see this dude. I wanted to see what he looked like. And he was 6'8" minimum, 600 pounds. I've never seen a guy so big. There was Mike Lott right there. Monster of a guy. And I'm watching him through this window, about like what I'm doing right here by the parking lot. Everybody that came in, he stood up. He's like, are you Brian? Next thing I come in the park, you Brian! And he did that all morning, so I just left. I fixed it later on. But if I'd been there, that guy was going to just roll me up into a ball. So this whole story boils down to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9. So turn with me there. I didn't get killed. I called the guy up and apologized sincerely. And I made a mental note of this whole thing. It's like, I do not want to lie ever again. Of course, I probably did, because I still hadn't learned all my lessons. But it was a point right there. It's like, money, pride, all these different things. That was a problem for me. All these things that I saw. These little Goliaths became big Goliaths in this situation. But these are the hurdles that needed to be cleared as you go on about your lives. All these things that interrupt your lives. And 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9 says, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare." I certainly did. "And into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." You know, when we think about it, and I think back to about David, God always doesn't give you what you expect or what you want in life, but he gives you opportunities to develop as a Christian. And so I can look back to this and say, I would never do that again. I don't even want to come close to doing that. My life is hopefully totally different, and I want to persevere and stick with it. Because you can see what I was in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Let's look at that. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." I think more and more about this verse when I think about that story. "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." So I thought about this verse. I actually texted Mark. When you're a visitor sometimes at the Hazeldale Church of Christ, they get sick of hearing everybody say the same prayer over and over again. So if you got a new guy coming in there, or a visitor or something, like, sometimes you get called on to give a prayer. So last week I got called on to give a prayer, and I just told everyone, we got in at 1 a.m. on Friday, and I worked all day with my folks, so I'm like super out of it, really. But anyway, so I tried to say this prayer, and I got totally lost in it. I mean, it was horrible. It was terrible. I totally messed this thing up. And after it was done, I was just distraught. You know, I was like, I finally recovered, but it's like my brain just quit. I'm starting on this prayer. It's starting pretty good. Next thing you know, blank. I mean, gone. I couldn't think of a single thing to say except amen. And I would have said that if I could get away with it, but wouldn't be able to get away with that. But then after it was all over, then I got to thinking about it. I texted Mark. I was like, man, it's like, look, I did this. And then I got to thinking about it. It's like, was that all about pride right there? Was it really about the prayer? Because I did get some things out. And you always do want to say all these things that Dennis mentioned in his prayer this morning and give a nice prayer. But what was that about that I was so distraught, that I couldn't move on, that I had to sit there and think about why I messed this up so bad? Was it about pride that I want to be able to say such a wonderful prayer in front of everybody else and tell them what a great Christian I've been and all these different things? You know, what was it? So it's sort of like moving back to that, you know, what David was talking about, all these people chasing after him. And it's like, just put your trust in God and move on and don't look back and stick with it. I would like you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17 through 24. Because this is like what life is like if we don't remember God's teaching. When I was on this boat, it's almost exactly, as I read this, it's almost exactly how I lived it on this boat to where I got off to where I am today. And I just think about that with everyone else. It's like, there will be errors, there will be slips, there will be times when we're not happy with what we did, but we can't look back. We've got to look forward to Christ. So in verse 17 it says, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them, due to the hardening of their hearts, having lost all sensitivity." Just lie to folks, right? "They have given themselves over to sensuality, so to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed." I can tell you exactly how that feels. In verse 20, it says, that, however, is not the way of life you learned, which was exactly not the way I was brought up. When you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and His holiness. And I hope I never, ever do what I did before. And keep your mind focused on these things. That's why we have class. That's why we get together. That's why we encourage each other. That's why if something goes wrong, we help each other. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 8 through 10, you know, a lot of times people talk to me as like, I don't know why you go to church. It just adds more rules to your life. You can't do this. You can't do that. If you think about it that way, you're missing out on the total gift of Christianity. Let's look at Romans chapter 13 and verse 8 through 10. It says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. It's about loving for each other. It's about serving each other. It's about caring for each other. It's not, sticking with it is not about perfection. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. This is Paul speaking in Philippians. It says, not that I have already attained this or am already perfect. Even Paul knows that he needs to press on. Or he says, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. This is why we press on, because Christ Jesus has made us his own. Look in Philippians chapter 1 and verses 22 and 23. Paul didn't focus on his past. Paul focused on Christ. Verse 22, it says, if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to part. My desire is to depart and be with Christ. For that is far better. So for everyone here sitting in the back row, and everyone here sitting in the second to the last row, and then everyone else. These things are going to happen to you in your life. You can't get around it. There's no way you're going to be able to get around it. I grew up, I'm going to tell you again, in a very rural community, there's very few people, and yet, there was a guy that said to my grandfather, he's like, we had a bridge, and the bridge had two cement embankments, is that the name on the side? You don't want to hit them. Two of them. And he had a planter and a tractor, and that planter had maybe this much room on this side and this much room on that side. And the guy says, bet you can't get through there in road gear. Brian, you know what road gear is? Yep. So my grandfather fires up the tractor, puts her in road gear, gives it everything he has, speeds down through there, puts her through the bridge. And I'm like, how did he do that? And what would have happened if he hadn't done that? He would have tore off markers for sure. Maybe probably toiled the planter as well. But guess what? Had to give it a shot. Pride. Even in a rural community, you're not going to miss it. So we asked him, how did you do that? He's like, well, I drove through it coming home for lunch. My tracks were right there. I can see them in the dust. So we just followed his tracks right back through in road gear. So, let's move on. We have God on our side. Let's always think about that. In Romans 8:31, this is exactly where you want to be with God on your side. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, it says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. We just heard that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. And I'll leave you with this last verse in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. With Christ, we overcome the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. This is the victory that has overcome the world, which is our faith. That is why we are to stick with it. And that would be my sermon today. So in order for us to be able to stick with it, there's a few things that we need to do. We need to be able to hear and understand God's word and have this faith. Repent of our sins, change our lives, put away all this money, pride, all these things that I was watching on this boat. Confess his name in Matthew chapter 10, verse 23. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father in heaven. Baptism in Acts chapter 2, verses 38. And then as Mark mentions, we need to be faithful. As in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. So if you would like to put on Christ, we have the opportunity as we stand and sing. Or if you need the prayers of the saints, please feel free to come forward as we stand and sing.